Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Everyone doing well? Good breakfast back there, donuts and bagels. We're Dave and Julie Goldschmidt, and we are New Jersey missionaries headed out to Scotland, actually, in 3 weeks, June 11th. It's coming up quick. We're going to be out there, and God just called us, as Pastor Jim said, to plant churches, to work with teenagers, help out there, and we're just excited about what God's doing in our lives. Four days ago, we celebrated 4 years of marriage, so we've been married for 4 years. My wife, she's put up with me for 4 years so far, and we're looking forward to many more years of marriage. And I just thank churches like you guys that have started, have captured the vision for missions, because without you guys praying for missionaries and giving to missions, there's no way that any of us could do what God has called us to do. A couple months ago, we were at a church in South Jersey, and a lady came up to my wife after the service, and she said, "Dave, thank you guys so much for going out to Scotland and answering God's call in your life." She said, "When I was born and raised, I was born and raised in India, and I grew up being a Muslim. But then a missionary came to my country. They held a crusade in my community, and I went, and I heard about Jesus Christ for the first time, and I accepted Christ into my life. Now here she is in her late 30s. She lives in South Jersey, and she's still going to an Assemblies of God church because one day a missionary was called, but then churches, like I said, you guys prayed, you guys sent them out, and God used them to change somebody's life and the other people that also have been changed. Never underestimate what God's going to use you guys for, because you guys have your hand in and a part of what God's doing all around the world here in the United States. We serve such an awesome God, and together as a family, that's when we accomplish the most. And so keep up the good work. I'm going to introduce to you my beautiful wife, Julie. She's my best friend. I drive her crazy. This is about a 2.5-hour drive back home, and I drive her nuts. I'm annoying, but she still loves me. We have a great time together, and we had an awesome time. So here's my beautiful wife, Julie.
Good morning. Like Dave was saying, we travel around a lot. So one of the coolest things that we do is we get to hear stories from people in different churches. And Dave reminded me last night, I didn't tell this story before, I hope I get it right, but I met a man a couple months ago in a church. He's from Scotland. He's from the country that we're going to, and he has one of those thick accents. He was telling me, he said, "Did you ever hear of an island called Lewis?" And Scotland is made up of hundreds and hundreds of islands around the coast of Scotland. He said, "I grew up in an island called Lewis, and on that island, when I was a little boy, I used to go to a church there, and I was one of the only kids in church because all the teenagers, all the kids have pretty much left the churches in Scotland." And he said, but on that island, he was telling me the story, he said, my mom and the women of the church got together, and they started to pray in Scotland on this island of Lewis. They would pray for the teenagers, and they would pray for the young people, and they would get together and they would pray. And the pastor of the church, he kept preaching, and he kept preaching, and he said, when I was little, years had gone by, and the church was really empty. But he said on a Saturday night we were having church, and the pastor preached a sermon. He said it wasn't the best sermon in the world. The pastor got up there. He just preached. He said there were a handful of us that came to church that night. He said, but after church, he said, we walked outside. The women of the church and the pastor and I, we walked outside. And he said out in the parking lot of the church, he said there were hundreds and hundreds of young people that had come out of bars and taverns and nightclubs and places that they were hanging out on the streets, and they had been drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit to that church that night. And he said the pastor got out on the steps of the church and he began to preach again, and he gave the salvation message, and he said 600 young people were saved that night. And he said within the next 5 years, everyone on the island of Lewis was saved, was born again, and attending church because of persistence and because of prayer. And Dave, you know, we talk about these stories of people we hear about, and, you know, just the persistence, just the persistence of Christians, just doing what they're doing. We don't have to be the best preachers. We don't have to be the most educated, the most best-looking people, the most talented people, but just that persistence of just serving the Lord, how that pays off. And then, like Dave was saying, your prayers, as you pray for your missionaries, I can't tell you, when the power of the Holy Spirit moves, it's like nothing we can do, but it's just maybe it'll take years, but we're just praying that in Scotland the power of Holy Spirit would just be poured out, and that miracles and signs and wonders will happen on the streets of Scotland. So Dave and I are youth pastors from New Jersey, and God called us to go to Scotland. We're going to be in the city of Hamilton. It's a big city right outside of Glasgow, about 1.5 million people in that area. And we're going to be working with teenagers, working with another missionary couple, planting churches in urban areas. If you could just remember to pray for us. We're just expecting God to do something awesome.
So after traveling around to all these churches in the past 14 months, you know, we find ourselves just 3 weeks away from going to Scotland and making that our new home. And we need you guys to pray, because it's not going to be Dave and Julie that are going to change anything, but it's going to be the power of God's Holy Spirit that's going to get out there and just begin to work in people's lives. And we just want to go in there and do the best that we can. And as you saw the statistic, you know, there's only 3,000 Pentecostal believers in the whole country, 5 million people. There's, 500 churches in 4 years have shut their doors down, become bars, nightclubs, mosques. It's just a mess. But we know that God can do anything, and He can break down all barriers and all statistics and really change lives around. And so right now we're at a point in our lives where we're just excited. God's doing some awesome things. But things weren't always like this for me. I grew up in church ever since I was a little boy, and I would go to Sunday school, and I would go to Royal Rangers, and anything that my church offered for kids, my parents would always take me because they wanted me to grow up knowing about God. And then when I was 12 years old, they took me to a church drama. It was Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, but this is one of those end times dramas that shows you what happens when you die, and either you spend eternity in heaven or you spend eternity in hell. And so after watching this for about an hour, the pastor comes up. And he says to everybody, he says, listen, we're not trying to scare anybody, but everybody in the audience, we were all scared. Even the people that knew Jesus Christ, they were scared too. Everybody was scared. He said, we want to show you the reality of what happens if you die not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So that night when I was 12 years old, I knew that God was speaking to my life, and I went up to the altar, and I was crying. It was snot coming out of my nose. You know those times you ever spend where just the presence of God is just moving? And I accepted Christ into my life. I said, Jesus Christ, I want you to come into my heart. Forgive me my sins, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And at that point, could you imagine that when you make these decisions to follow Christ, that Satan's going to come in, and he's going to want to do whatever he can to distract you? And so my parents decided that we were going to move from everything we ever knew. We grew up in the inner city, New Jersey, and they moved closer to Pennsylvania. And so everything that we've ever known, our family, our school district, our friends, everything. And now here we are. We find ourselves, you know, 45 minutes away, different home, different town. I was going into this new school year, and I had no friends. And I remember thinking to myself that I wanted to do whatever I could to just fit in with the crowd. I just wanted to be accepted by this new town. And so that meant making compromises to my faith in Jesus Christ. So I made some compromises. I was just pulling myself further and further away from the Lord. And 2 years of that went by. And one day God spoke to me and he said, Dave, you're going to have to make a choice. He said, you're going to have to choose to follow me and what I have for your life. You're going to have to choose to follow after this world because you can't do both. And I believed in God. I believed in Jesus Christ. My dad was a heroin addict for 25 years, and God miraculously changed his life. I knew that he was real, but then I thought about this world and the things that I would be giving up, my friends, just the popularity. And I told God, I said, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you right now in my life as a teenager. I want you to go let me live my own life, do my own thing, because if I can do it my way, I'll be better off than surrendering my life over to you. And so he let me go live my path, and things just started to get really bad at that point. I thought things were going to start to get better because now I had this freedom. I'm away from the Lord. But they started to get bad, and I just started to get really miserable, and my life was just falling apart. I became very angry and depressed, and I blamed all my problems and everything I was going through on everybody else and all my circumstances rather than pointing the finger at myself. And so I went through high school, barely graduated. I made it out of high school. And one day on a Friday night after youth group, my youth pastor, he brings me into his office and he says, Dave, listen, I don't know what you're doing for the rest of your life, but I want you to consider spending 9 days this summer and going on a short-term missions trip to Lima, Peru. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know the fastest way out of my pastor's office is to say yes to anything they ask you to do. You just sign up for anything. You volunteer. That way you can just go home and do whatever you have to do. So that's what I did. I said to my youth pastor, no problem. Sign me up on this trip.
And as the months went by, we raised the money to go on this missions trip. And as we were about 2 weeks away from going, I started to get really scared and really nervous. Because I don't know if you've ever been on a missions trip, but the point of a missions trip is that you're going to go tell people about what Christ has done in your life. You're supposed to be saved if you're going to go on a missions trip and tell people about Jesus Christ. I wasn't serving God. I was running from the Lord. And so I really didn't want to go. But we raised the money. We were just 2 weeks away. And I knew that I couldn't back down. So I packed up my bags. We got on this plane to go. And the whole 7-hour plane ride to Lima, Peru, I just prayed and I asked Jesus Christ. I said, Christ, please forgive me of my sins. Because if this plane crashes, I want to make sure that I make it into heaven. And when I went on this trip, my heart was like a rock. I was a stone. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't even really know who I was. I just knew I was running from the Lord. But when we landed in the grounds of Lima, Peru, and we began to minister to people, day after day, God's Holy Spirit just began to soften my heart and soften my life. And He began to call me back into a personal relationship with Him. On that trip, I saw people get healed. I saw people get saved. Hundreds of people gave their heart over to the Lord. I saw people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People that had nothing, that had no hope, when we told them about Jesus Christ, they realized that they had everything. And one night, after just ministering to people, I went back to my hotel room and I told God, I said, God, I'll do whatever it takes. When I get back home, I'm ready to start serving You with all my heart. Because of the things that I'm doing and the way that I'm living right now, it's not productive. It's not what You have for me. So we packed up our bags. We headed back to New Jersey. We landed in Newark Airport. I don't know how to explain it, but I know that when I landed there, that something inside my heart was different. I knew that God had changed my life. I was excited to go to church the next Sunday morning, tell people what God had done in my life. I was excited to just start serving in the church. And when I came back, I made changes to my lifestyle. Because if you want to be a different person when you leave church, it's just not hearing something, but applying it to your life. You've got to make changes to the way that you live outside these walls. Because if not, it'll be a matter of time before you fall back into your old habits, your same lifestyle. So I made some changes, and then I started serving in the church. Because if God changes your life, there's no way that you could hold that blessing inside yourself. You're going to want to do whatever you can to just pour yourself out into other people. So I started serving in the church. And for 2 years, I volunteered with the youth ministry. And after 2 years, our youth pastor, he was called to another place of ministry. And they said, Dave, we want you to step in for about 6 months until somebody else comes in. And during those 6 months, our youth ministry kept on growing. That year, we gave about $27,000 to missions in our teenagers. And my pastor said, Dave, we want you to be the next youth pastor here of our home church. So here I am saved for 2 years. Now I'm getting paid full time to be a pastor at my home church. Then how did we finally get together? Because that's a huge part of our story. Growing up, my wife, she thought I was a jerk. She didn't like me, and I was just really mean. You know, she's a very sweet girl, and our families were really close. And every time my family would go over to her house, my mom would go to my wife as a teenager and she'd say, Julie, one day you're going to marry one of my sons. I have two older brothers. And she would go back to her mom and say, Mom, there's no way I'm going to marry one of those boys. No way, I'm not going to marry one of them. But when we came back from this mission trip, when I came back, we started working in the church together. We started a young adults ministry together, served as in the youth ministry leadership team. And I went from this jerk. All of a sudden, now she thought I was kind of cute. And so we started dating. And after dating for about a year, we were married, moved into a beautiful parsonage together, became pastors. And just watching the presence of God just move there. We would have never left. We were happy. It was awesome. My wife was a teacher at the school right next door to our church. And so every kid in the 6th through 8th grade at one point came into the youth ministry and heard about Jesus Christ. And so we said, God, we just want to be here forever. And in the midst of all that, we were back on a missions trip, my wife and I, in Mexico City. And God just spoke to us and He said, Dave and Julie, it's time for you guys to take your gifts and your talents and go to a country that desperately needs help. And so through a lot of prayer and just, you know, asking for wisdom and help, God's led us to Scotland. We're right now. There's not one full-time paid youth pastor in the whole country. There's very little things, events, programs, ministry happening for teenagers. And we want to go in there and we want to start that. I went from a teenager who wanted nothing to do with God. And now 7 years later, I'm happily married. I'm 3 weeks away from going to Scotland to tell teenagers who have never heard about Jesus Christ about what He's done in my life. Only God has the power to change somebody's life like that. How many of you guys have been changed by the power of God? Raise your hand. God is changing lives. He's doing awesome things all over this world. And I just want to share that story with you guys to remember what God's done in your life. Because you'll never know how He'll use your story and your specific and your unique testimony to impact somebody else's life. But also quickly, I want to share this morning, I want you to realize that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that God has a calling for your life too. My wife and I, we're normal people. We watch television shows, we watch Lost, we watch Prison Break, and you know, some reality shows. We're just people that have a calling from the Lord. We've learned to embrace the calling that God has for our lives. So this morning I want to share with you how we've learned to embrace the call that God has for your life as well. The first thing that you need to do is that all of us, we need to all make a decision that we're going to say yes to Jesus Christ. We're going to say yes to the call. What does that mean? That means telling God, you say, God, listen, this is what I have planned for my life. This is my 5-year plan. This is my 10-year plan. Whatever it is, but you got to say, God, listen, it's not about what I want to do, but it's about what you want to do through my life. God, I just surrender my life over to you. I give it to you, and I just want to make myself available to be used by God. When you make yourself available, doesn't mean that things are always going to work out. Doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy path and you're never going to be faced with challenges. But it means that when you say yes to God, that you're saying, God, listen, I know that I'm going to be faced with challenges, but no matter what I go through, I know that you're going to be there for me every single step of the way. You're guiding me, you're protecting me, and you're going to be there for me. But it takes us just making ourselves available and saying yes to God. Saying yes to the calling that God has for us. And then once you say yes to the calling, once you make yourself available, what happens? Now you say, God, now show me what it is that you want me to do. Show me what my calling is. What can I do to serve you? And what I love about God and what I love about His kingdom is that all of us, we're all unique. That each of us, God has given each of us different things to do and different ways to serve Him. And when we combine those gifts and talents together, that's how we become most effective. Some of us might like to work with our hands or do music or clean the carpet or, you know, wash windows. Whatever it is to serve God, we've got to say, God, what is it exactly that you want me to do? How do you find out what God wants you to do? You've got to spend time in God's Word. Statistics say that 80 to 86% of Christians don't pick up the Bible once they leave church on a Sunday morning. If you're not getting God's Word inside your heart, putting it there, right here, memorizing Scripture, knowing what God wants you to do, you're never going to make it. Because God's Word is the most important book that you'll ever read, that you can ever know. And I'm sure it's something that you guys never heard before, right? Listen, we've got to get God's Word inside of our heart. How else do you find out what God wants you to do? When you spend time in prayer. And what I love about prayer is communication. And communication is two ways. We talk with God, but then God, the Creator of the universe, talks with us. When we say to God, God, listen, I want you to show me my plan. Show me what you have planned for me. God's not going to turn His back from you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to show you loud and clear exactly what He has for your life. There's a true story of a lady. She was 83 years old. She was at a point in her life where she said, God, what can I possibly do to serve you at this stage in my life? I don't drive. I go to church a few times a week, but most of my time I spend at home. And God said to her, I want you to get a phone book. And I want you to just write to people in your county, the judges, the superintendents of schools, principals. I want you to write them a letter of encouragement. Let them know that you're praying for them and just a small scripture. She said, God, I could still use my hands. My handwriting's still legible. So that's what she began to do. So she started to send out these letters in the mail. And after a few weeks, a letter came back from one of the judges in her county. And it said, thank you so much for your letter, because just when I was ready to give up, and just when I thought that nobody cared, that's when your letter came in the mail. And I want to thank you so much for encouraging me to keep on doing what I'm doing. And then he put a check inside the envelope for $100. And he said, I want you to go buy more postage and buy more letterhead. And keep sending letters out to people in the same position as me. And at that point, she was just excited because she realized that even at 83 years old, that she still has purpose and a calling for her life. And God showed her what He wants her to do. Listen, no matter how young you are, or no matter how old you are, there's something for you to do in God's body. But your responsibility is to go find out what it is. So that's the first thing. You make yourself available to God by saying yes to Him. The second thing is that you say, God, now I made myself available. Show me how I can serve you. Show me what my calling is, because I want to begin to work with, just work and serve you. And once God shows you what your calling is, the third thing that we've learned is that now you have to ask God to give you the strength to go out and make that calling become a reality. This is the hard work. This is the grunt work that it's going to take to make anything that's worth something is going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. Anything that's worth something. And so we have to say, God, give us the strength to make that happen. My wife and I, we had no idea how hard it was to be a missionary with the Assemblies of God. It's a lot of work. It's about a 10-month application process. It's about this thick, and a lot of interviews and tests and physical tests. And as you come towards the end of the process, you have to take a psychological test. It's about 1,500 questions to find out whether or not you're crazy. And my wife, she didn't think that I was going to pass the test. She thought I was going to fail the crazy test, but we passed the test. And we did all this hard work. And after 10 months, November 9th of 2005, the Assemblies of God called us up in our home and said, Dave and Julie, we want you guys to be New Jersey's first missionaries headed over to Scotland. And so we gladly said yes. But I can guarantee you this, that even though God called us, that if we didn't do our part, we wouldn't be here 3 weeks away from going to Scotland. God can do anything, but He wants us to do our part. He needs us to do our part to make it happen. And now that we're on, now that you get accepted, you have to spend about 14 to 18 months traveling from church to church, trying to raise the support that you need. And now that it's done, you know, we're glad to be over with that part, but it was stressful and just a lot of panic sometimes. And, you know, just we have a lot of questions and doubt, you know, times of excitement. But now I know that when we get to Scotland, we begin to minister to people. Students start to get saved, called into ministry, baptized in the Holy Spirit. All the hard work, the 2-year process that it took for us to get to Scotland will all be worth it because God is using us there in that field. Listen, when you understand that God will use you, He will use your life to impact the life of another person who yet hasn't heard about Jesus Christ, you say, God, that's so awesome. I want to be used by you. And everything that we do to serve God, it just opens up more doors to people to come to know Him. I can imagine my Sunday school teachers, that my parents would force me to go to Sunday school. And they would sit there and preach to me and, you know, and try to teach me. And they would look at me and I was just angry and just sat there like I didn't want to be here. And they knew I didn't want to be there. But they just did their very best week after week. Now here I am, you know, just a couple years later, because they never gave up on my life. Listen, God wants to use us to impact other people. Do you realize that this church is placed in this community to reach out to people that no other church in the community can reach out to except for you guys? But then not only that, God has called every individual person and family to be a part of this body, to bring something to the table that no other family can bring except for you guys. That's how important your calling is. Again, because when we work together, that's how we're most effective in reaching out to the people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. We serve such an awesome God, and it's so awesome because no matter what we've done in our past, God's got an awesome future for our lives. And even today, as we make mistakes and we're trying to do our best and we seem that we can never get it straight, that God's saying, listen, all you got to do is just turn to me because I've got a plan for your life. We just thank you guys so much for what you're doing here in this community. And as Pastor said, you guys are missionaries too. You guys are home missionaries here to this part of New Jersey, because New Jersey needs the Holy Spirit to do something awesome. So keep up the great work. Keep doing a good job. And in 3 years, you know, as we come back and we're going to share testimonies of what God is doing in the midst of the people in Scotland. So grab a prayer card on your way out. And we thank you again for just having us and be a part here of your 1-year anniversary. Pastor Jim, it's all back to you. God bless you guys.